good morning.
Yeah, morning, Nathaniel.
So, Ian, can you tell us a little bit more about the case of the Sri Lankan asylum seeker who just died over the weekend?
Well, this man actually arrived in Australia in 2012 and was amongst the first group of people who were sent to Nauru by the Gillard Labor government in 2012. He was brought back to Australia in 2014 after the Rudd government, changed the policy about Nauru. So the first people who had been sent there by the Gillard government, they were all brought back to Australia on the basis that they would agree to restarting their process. Their processing would start again, in Australia. Now, they were brought back after making that agreement, but they were then stalled. They couldn't make that application immediately. The Gillard government and subsequent Rudd and then Abbott governments had a no disadvantage thing, so they wouldn't actually allow that group of people to make an asylum application until last year. So this man, like others, made his application last year. He got a rejection several weeks ago. He didn't make any suicide attempt actually before he went to Logan Hospital. He became very, very depressed, it seems, and quite withdrawn. He started to refuse to eat. Friends became very worried about his welfare and took him to Logan Hospital. He hadn't made any suicide attempt before that, although it's now emerged that he had been actively seeking, mental health, treatment from a number of agencies around Brisbane. He was admitted to Logan Hospital and actually attempted suicide when he was in, Logan Hospital. So there's a number of things that concern us immediately, is that he was clearly attempting to access and had access to some mental health services in and around Brisbane, but somehow managed to make the suicide attempt when he was, in a secure ward in Logan Hospital. That itself, raises, questions that need investigation.
Gosh, that's terrible to hear. Oh my God. Well, it sounds like this application being rejected was kind of like a catalyst for this, for his mental health. How is the current asylum application system impacting the well-being of those waiting on decisions?
The problem has been the extraordinary delays. To come in 2012 and not be able to make the application until 2017, 5 years. Later, you're separated from family, unable to support the family that you've left home. This man's got a wife and 4 children, in Sri Lanka. The separation itself is distressing, let alone, the inability to provide, any kind of, physical and emotional, financial, support. So it eats away at people, and as you well know, the government has made things progressively difficult for people who are in the community, withdrawing legal help from people who are making the asylum applications, now progressively withdrawing any income or hardship support, for people who are actually appealing their initial rejection. So, this guy, like so many others, gets an initial rejection, is not sure where to go for legal help, how to make, a subsequent appeal. Very often the rejection itself, is something which people find very difficult, to deal with, without knowing, where they can go for help. So the situation for people who are in the community, we often hear about what's happening, offshore, and this particular Tamil man's a bit of a combination of both, but the uncertainty, the delays, the insecurity, does have an enormous mental health consequence for people who are in detention, but people who are, in the community facing uncertainty as well.
Well, is there any sort of health or wellbeing support being provided to asylum seekers as they wait for their asylum claims to be processed?
That's a difficult question because it varies a lot depending on where people are at in their various stages. But I guess the short answer is that there's simply not enough. For some people, they do get bridging visas and are able to access, Medicare. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily get the kind of mental health support that the uncertainty and insecurity, constantly creates. And this guy, for example, clearly knew of a number of, mental health facilities, that it became apparent that he was attempting to access. We don't know to what extent, but their ability to support people is not, is not necessarily, very high. So I think the short answer is that there is that people are, are not getting, the mental health or the general health, the, support they need, when they are in the community.
If you've just joined us here on The Daily this morning, we're joined by Ian Rintoul, a refugee advocate with the Refugee Action Coalition, talking about whether asylum seekers are receiving adequate medical and legal assistance after the death of a Sri Lankan man in Brisbane just over the past weekend. Now, Ian, you would assume that for asylum seekers who are unfamiliar with Australia's legal system, going through an asylum application would be a bit of a difficult process. What sort of legal support is provided to assist asylum seekers with their applications?
Well, the government has actually withdrawn, all legal support. Now, what that's meant is that many of the community, legal aid groupings, or people like the Refugee and Casework Services in Sydney or Rails in Melbourne, have no longer get any government support. So they've had to find ways of raising an enormous amount of funds. They've had to rely on a lot of volunteers, of legal students, of lawyers who volunteer with the agency in an attempt to get through tens of thousands of claims actually in the last in the last year. The government created an artificial cutoff last year for people to make those applications. They all had to be made by, October last year. We're meant to get the results, by October this year. But what it's meant is, there's an enormous effort being put in by those community, legal groupings to provide, what support, they can. But without that funding, it does mean that they struggle to provide, the kind of legal help that people people get. There's an enormous, backlog. There's a long, kind of waiting time, and the legal help is only available to the first appeal. So people make the application, they go to the, if they're rejected, they go to the administrative appeals tribunal. After that, they can go to the Federal Circuit Court, but there's no legal help at all. And after that appeal to the AAT, they're cut off from any kind of, if they were getting it, they're cut off from any kind of, income, support, full stop. So there's a massive effort underway now in the communities to try to raise money for people who are, have been left entirely without any support, by the government. I mean, people don't see a lot of it, but it is the community or the Australian end of the same kind of, a deterrent policy that we see in offshore detention. The government is trying to make it as difficult as possible, for people to make asylum claims. It really is set up by the government to ensure that they get maximum failure. It's designed to fail. Both of the terms of the legal aid they can get, legal support that's available, and also, or the lack of it, and also the the lack of income support, or the right, let alone income support, let alone the right to work that we think they should have if they're living in the community and making their claims.
Following on what you just said about it being designed to fail, you've previously labelled Australia's immigration policy as deliberately harsh. What should the Australian government be doing to better ensure the well-being and security of asylum seekers here in our country?
Well, I think there's a very, very short answer to that. I mean, people should be able to come here in whatever way they can get here. They should be able to make their application and live and work in the community, have the right to live and the right to work in the community while their claims are being assessed. I mean, that, by and large, that is the way in which asylum claims are dealt with, around the world. But as we've seen with the recent Vietnamese boat in North Queensland, I mean, the government is denying them legal help in an attempt to screen them out and deport them without even the basic legal help for them to actually make an asylum claim. So they're kept incommunicado. They're being kept away from lawyers or any other legal advice that they can get in order to make it as easy as possible for the government to subvert their own laws and deport them without a claim being made, or they can dismiss the claim before it can be properly, properly assessed. And for the people who are in the community, there are tens of thousands of people who are in the community who are making those claims. They should be able to live and have the right to work and to get legal support so their claims can be properly addressed. I mean, the truth is, in the longer term, it is a far more sensible way of going about things. We would avoid a lot of appeals if the the system was set up properly, that claims could be made properly and extensively with all the information and so on that they can need, if the legal centres had enough support to be able to provide that level of one-on-one support for the cases. As it is now, we've got again thousands of cases end up in the Federal Circuit Court because they are being rejected, but very often they're being rejected because the claim in the first place has not been able to be properly dealt with because there's not been the advice and the support to get the information to properly put it before the Immigration Department in the first place. So it is set up to fail, and it is designed as a deterrent. Even the way in which the administrative appeals or the actual immigration process operates at the moment, the onus is on the individual. It's not a truth investigation process. It's really designed to make it as easy as possible for the tribunal members, for the immigration officers in the first instance, to be able to reject the claims. And that's what we're seeing in so many of the Tamil claims. They are being rejected without the the support to put them properly before the immigration officers, or without the government actually properly considering country information and the ongoing oppression that Tamils are suffering in Sri Lanka.
Right. Well, hopefully the government can do a little bit better by our immigrants, asylum seekers, I should say, very shortly. Ian, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks very much, Nathaniel.